coming up.
Go for it. We believe in you.
So you weren't like the voice of a handbag?
The handbag?
The handbag.
A handbag?
Would have been fun.
Here's the thought I'm banging to the wall.
A small workshop made of leather.
Pre-recorded hologram message.
That makes more sense. I can see it now.
Like all good politicians, you know what you're going to say.
I was worried as I was listening to it.
Damn, that's exactly the way I was going to do it.
That was a really hard one, actually, Mark. I felt that was kind of cruel.
You know these characters backwards.
And that's not to say you're just phoning it in or anything, or not trying.
He loves you so much at this point now.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. This is Mark Rice. Mm-hmm. He's my co-host.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Hello. That's Sam Boffin, my co-host.
Hello. So just in case you have never tuned in before, this is what we do every week.
Yes, we ask ourselves and a special guest the burning question, how do you say that? And we answer it by very simply reading some scripts out loud together.
Very simple concept, because there isn't just one way to read a script. There are lots of different ways. Mm-hmm. So, Mark, bit of true or false.
Okay.
My favourite dessert is creme brulee. Is that true or false?
Oh. Well, I love a bit of creme brulee, especially
if you
can crack the top.
Mm.
So, you're a vegetarian, so I'm wondering if eggs are kind of out and the kind of eggy puddings. I'm going to say false because of that reason.
Vegetarians can eat eggs and milk and all sorts of things like that. So it is, in fact, true.
Oh.
My favourite dessert is creme brulee for exactly the reason you pointed out, actually, is that
the
nice
hard
cracked top. And if it comes soft, sometimes they're soft.
Oh, I know. And then it's a failure all round, isn't it? Yeah.
Big failure on the creme brulee front. Anyway, so.
Okay, Mark. My fun fact. I once did a promotional video for an English cheesemaker on camera, actually dressed as a wedge of cheese.
Of course you did. I'm having no worries about that. I think that's true.
No, it's totally false.
Well, you should have done.
I mean, as I was writing it, I thought, yes, I absolutely should have done.
Oh, so be so good to see you dressed as a wedge of cheese.
Oh, can you imagine? Well, of course, we also have our very special guest, voice actor Jenna Sharp. Hello, Jenna. Welcome along
Hello.
To How Do You Say That.
I was trying not to laugh in the middle of that as I imagined you as a slice of cheese.
I wonder if I would have been Gorgonzola. Who knows?
Oh.
Sam, let's find out a little bit more about Jenna, shall we?
Absolutely. So Jenna Sharp is a full-time voice actor based in Hampshire and working right across the industry. Her recent video game credits include Dragon Quest III, Warhammer, Lego Fortnite, and Game of Thrones. She has over 40 credits on Audible for her work in audio drama, and she won Best Actress at the Vox Awards for her role of Mustang in the popular Red Rising series by Pierce Brown.
Well, Jenna's a psychologist by training and worked in training and development for the police service before throwing in her proper job to pursue an actor career. She says, an understanding of human behaviour is definitely an asset when creating characters and working with brands. At least that's what she tells herself when she looks at how much she spent on tuition fees.
Yes.
Yeah, we all understand that. Welcome to the podcast, Jenna. Do you have
Thank
a fun
you so much.
Fact for us?
I do. So I grew up in Highclere, which is famous for Highclere Castle,
Downton,
which is where Downton Abbey is filmed. And I was in the church choir, and one of the Carnarvon family got married, so I got to sing a solo at their wedding.
Ooh.
And who should be in the congregation but none other than Her Majesty the Queen?
Oh,
so
wow.
I can say I've
Amazing.
Sung in front of the Queen.
That's so exciting.
I genuinely thought you were going to say Hugh Bonneville. At that point.
Well, that would be Downton. Nice, but I think the Queen is slightly...
The Queen trumps Hugh Bonneville, absolutely. Yeah,
no offence to Hugh.
Well, with that royal connection, let's crack on and look at the first script of our show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
Okay, so I love this little script. What do we all think of it? Do we know what it is for a start off?
Well, it looks like a kind of web promo commercial for a handbag company, but I may have completely missed the mark there. What do you think, Jenna?
Yeah, I'm going with handbags, yeah. Classic, traditional, sort of artisan handbags.
Mm.
Pretty much. It's a corporate for the handbag manufacturer.
Handbag.
But yes. Handbag.
Handbag.
Yes, it's a corporate. It was a much, much longer piece than this. It was all about their sort of their heritage, as it were.
Okay. So you're corporate narrator. in a way.
Yes, sort of. Yes, warm corporate, I would say. This is definitely warm corporate.
It's one of those corporates that's almost like a commercial. It could be a commercial, couldn't
it? But, yeah, it could.
It's quite sweetly atmospheric, actually, as a corporate. And there's lots of sort of behind the scenes stuff in it and some. Oh, it's like a tiny mini documentary type thing because it's got stuff of them when they first started. And it's a really sweet little corporate, actually. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to give it a go. I'm not quite sure how to approach this, but warm I'm going with. Almost vintagey feel, I think I'll go with, right.
Vintage, 1971. Oh, vintage.
Do it like a BBC presenter.
Hellfire, Sam.
In 1971.
That's over half a century ago, remember?
I know.
That's so sad. Right, let me have a go at this. Let's see what comes out. In 1971, Edward and Isabel Beaumont opened a small leather workshop just outside London. He believed in things made well and made to last. She brought vision and flair. Together, they shaped a brand defined by balance between heritage and innovation, utility and elegance, function and the quiet confidence of beautiful design. Today, every Beaumont and Bell piece is made with care, from timeless luggage to modern handbags. This is the story of how we carry legacy and why it still matters.
I thought that was damn good, actually. I think.
Thank you.
I think maybe that just that last line, that this is the story of how we carry legacy and why it still matters. I think because it was lumped in with the previous paragraph, we sort of lost the impact of that. And I think
I agree. And also, I've only just got now carry, as in their handbags and luggage.
See,
carry is
an
obvious word to bring out there, and I didn't do that. Yeah.
So yeah,
make
that stand out and be the crescendo, as it were.
I thought it was quite a coloured read in that there was a lot of emphasis on a lot of different words.
Yes, that's fair.
Which I think does have quite a traditional feel to it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that's what they wanted.
Okay.
Or if they did, I'm not convinced I gave them that. But but so it lent into a lot of stuff. So it was very clear, very polished.
So perhaps not the modern way that they would have perhaps preferred it.
It worked beautifully as a piece. But it needs to be a bit more relaxed, perhaps.
Are you going to use that?
That's entirely
It needs
fair.
To be more conversational, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's a cliche, but that's
less straight. Jenna, I don't know if that gives you any ideas of where to go slightly differently, perhaps.
I'll give it a shot.
Okay.
In 1971, Edward and Isabel Beaumont opened a small leather workshop just outside London. He believed in things made well and made to last. She brought vision and flair. Together, they shaped a brand defined by balance between heritage and innovation, utility and elegance, function and the quiet confidence of beautiful design. Today, every Beaumont and Bell piece is made with care, from timeless luggage to modern handbags. This is the story of how we carry legacy and why it still matters.
I like that. For me, you gave it the more documentary feel that Sam kind of alluded to at the beginning. It was considerably quicker than I did it.
Was it? I didn't necessarily feel that it was.
Okay.
It was. I loved the atmosphere that you brought to it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a real feeling of like I was going back however many years it is, 50-odd years. I haven't worked it out, actually. Probably 55 years, isn't it? Yeah. That I'm going back to, probably a simpler time, but bringing it up to date. It had a really atmospheric read, I thought. That was lovely.
I almost felt that the pictures around that, Sam, would have been the kind of Super 8 film that was so popular in the 70s. That kind of feel of it, you know?
I don't know why this has come into my head, but do you remember that Hovis advert with the bloke on the bike going up the cobbled hill?
Yes.
That, for some reason, that came in my mind.
Yeah, which
Gosh,
of course is probably in the 1930s, I would say.
That's way too old then.
But it's funny because, you know, I was thinking as I was saying all that and you were talking about, I was thinking, oh, like cobble blacksmiths and things like that.
What is it with the cobbles?
150 years.
Yeah.
But no, I loved that. There was a softness of it. I also thought you got into it as you went through. I thought you relaxed into it as well. It was lovely.
Yes, I guess so. And also that final line that we were talking about before, this is the story of how we carry legacy, I thought you brought through very nicely indeed, which I had missed entirely.
I still think I could have done that last line better, but I don't know how I'd do it differently. Yeah. I just wasn't quite feeling it.
It hasn't got so much weight. I don't mean that you don't give it so much weight. What I mean is that because there's still a load of stuff to talk about after that, the weightiness of that line doesn't feel so... you know, kind of like an end piece.
I'm my own harshest critic, so I just
I think
have,
we all
I rely
are. I think
so
we
much.
All understand that, Jenna, absolutely.
It's actually why when I'm not doing a director's session, I invariably do something twice and send it over
yes,
to them.
I
because
do.
Even if it's a very similar take, there's nuances, aren't there? There's yep. little
absolutely,
moments
that they
that
might
are done
like one thing more than
and
another
in my experience,
thing.
Clients really appreciate like having options as well.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, the more absolutely. We talk to people, Sam, actually, the more we've found that voiceover artists do that. So if it's not a directed session, you will send certainly, I think, two options. Some people send more than that. I'm not sure whether they want to go through more than that necessarily. But
also that, like you were talking about, actually, Jenna, that last line, you might offer that line up three different ways or something, you know, to just so you can cover the bases.
I would like to see the weight that you do actually put on that final line.
If I can remember what I did, I'll give you that. Okay. In 1971, Edward and Isabel Beaumont opened a small leather workshop just outside London. He believed in things made well and made to last. She bought vision and flair. Together, they shaped a brand defined by balance between heritage and innovation, utility and elegance, function and the quiet confidence of beautiful design. Today, every Beaumont and Bell piece is made with care, from timeless luggage to modern handbags. This is the story of how we carry legacy and why it still matters.
You have just a natural voice, like the tone of your voice. I think maybe it's because it's slightly deeper register. It just seems to lend itself really well to like the heritage feel of the
It really
product.
Does.
I threw myself entirely by imagining a small workshop made of leather at the top.
That sounds kind of sexual.
Yes.
Oh, see, I went down the Geppetto route of Pinocchio.
Oh, like, that's a lot more wholesome than where my mind went.
A small leather workshop.
This big.
I think you found the title of your podcast now.
I think you're right. Absolutely. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely. And I'm always
workshop.
Looking out for it.
Play How Do You Say That?
Well, it is worthwhile remembering that these are real scripts we're working on, but we've changed names and some details to avoid copyright issues. And while we're on the subject of the scripts, you can find them both in the show notes of this episode on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or on the website, wherever you normally listen.
Yes, absolutely. So, Jenna, tell us about your script. I love your script. Mm.
So I had to choose something from Red Rising, which is probably my favourite role that I've played. And my character, Virginia, is basically like a president, and she's just liberated a group of people known as the Reds, who were basically used as slave labour to mine helium-3 under Mars. And they were lied to and unaware that the surface of the planet is actually now habitable. And this is the message they hear as they're liberated by my character. And they finally see the surface of the planet.
So she's telling them they can go to the surface now because it is safe to be there.
Mm.
Yep. What kind
Enjoy
of character
it.
Is she? Is she domineering? Is she like all powerful so they all look at her and like you're the best thing in the world, universe?
The cool thing about her is that she's different things to different people. She's whatever people need her to be.
That's not the most overhelpful thing I've ever heard for a director say, Jenna,
no.
to be fair.
No. Everything. Do it all.
What, in this moment in time?
In this moment, she's the reassuring, motherly sovereign who is, benevolent and caring and reassuring and everything's going to be fine.
How is this message getting to these people, or except for she addresses them individually as an individual.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a good question because I just envisaged her talking to a crowd of people and I'm not sure that is correct.
So what it is it's a hologram, a pre-recorded hologram message that plays to them, and they're all, I think they're on their ship being flown to somewhere where they're going to be safe, and this is what plays to them.
Yeah, that makes more sense. I can see it now.
It's generic, like generic Child of Mars.
Where is she from? Does that matter? Is there an accent? Is there a placement of her?
She's from the village of Highclere. No.
RP then.
She's well spoken. Yeah, she's well spoken. Okay. She's basically in Red Rising. They have different. They have a pyramid, a hierarchy, and reds are at the bottom, and gold is at the top. And my character is a gold, but she's a compassionate gold, and she wants to change the system with the protagonist, who isn't mentioned in this scene. So
now, I love sci-fi, and you love certain sci-fi, Sam. So I can see this, can you?
Yes, although I'm not sure sci-fi necessarily makes a difference here. Perhaps
no,
it does,
you're right.
Actually. I don't know.
Probably.
I don't
not.
Know. Anyway, I'll give it a go. Okay. Child of Mars, welcome to the worlds. You are about to embark upon a great journey to your rightful place upon the surface of the planet your ancestors built. Your sweat, your blood, and that of your kin gave this planet life. Now, it is your turn to share in the bounty of mankind, to live and prosper in this new solar republic and pave a way for the next generation. My heart is with you. The hopes and dreams of people everywhere rise with you. Good luck, and may you and yours find joy under the stars.
I thought that was pretty good. I was worried as I was listening to it that you'd got the gravitas, but I was worried that you were going a bit too cold and a little bit too formal. But then right at the end, you sort of started to hear the warmth in your voice, and then the last few lines, you did it. Mm. So was that a conscious decision to sort of ramp it up?
It was just otherwise there is a danger with this sort of thing, that you give it a one note all the way through, like, because you're making your speech, and you know, you've within the context of the ruler, if you like, in this case, you've probably rehearsed that speech. You know, that speech is something that you know you are going to say, and you've, like all good politicians, you know what you're going to say. But the problem with that is that then we become one note with that idea. Yeah. Yeah. So yes, I suppose it was.
If it's any consolation, Sam, I hated you midway through it because I thought, damn, that's exactly the way I was going to do it. And it was like, your thought process of what came out is exactly where I was going to go with it. And I might have to just alter that a little bit, I think, because of that. But it's exactly how I imagined it. So I'm paying you a compliment because I think that is exactly the way I would have done it.
That's a danger though, isn't it? I worry. That's the sort of thing I worry about, Jenna. You were saying before.
But doesn't that mean it could be correct?
But it could also be wrong, because if you approach everything with your own sensibilities every single time.
I think with audio drama, like obviously, by the time you're recording this, you've done three books as this character, so you know her so well.
Sure.
And you
Fair.
Know.
Yeah.
But I really didn't think of it. I didn't even think. I just said it. I just said it how I think she'd say it.
Yeah.
And the director was like, yep. Next.
It reminds me, Sam, do you remember when we had Debs Wardle on the podcast with the vampire series that she had voiced? It reminds me of that, because that's almost what she was saying, Jenna, that after like season two, you know these characters backwards.
Mm. And that's not to say you're just phoning it in or anything.
No, not at all.
But yeah, you, I always say this, they take a part of you and you take a part of them. Yep. And and you have to try less hard. And I think sometimes when we try too hard, it sounds wrong, or just doesn't, you know, you can tell when someone's trying too hard.
God, I'm going to try too hard. Yeah. Oh, well, we all know what's coming now
but then what Sam said about doing it one note, I think my performance in the audio book was probably a bit one note, but Hey.
But within the, that's the thing is that within the context of a much larger piece, mm-hmm. that's not the problem. As you say, you've got to then give the character life and you can allow yourself to give the character life over, you know, a long time, over many minutes, hours, whatever, you know, of a storyline. That's fine then.
The thing that you reminded me of, that it is an audiobook, but it, is this, this is an audiobook where the different characters are within and different people are within. So you're not playing all the characters here,
no,
Jenna. There is a cast of characters
it's
here.
It's like a radio dramatized play, basically.
Yes, exactly. And that is the and that's also the very popular change in audiobooks at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that seems to be the trend that we're moving towards. And some people love it, some people hate it. Like, some people find it too overwhelming with the music and the sound effects. Other people find that really helps them visualise.
Well, because I love audio drama, I love it. I think it's a welcome.
It's one of my favourite things, areas of voiceover to work in.
Oh, well, let's see what I do with it, shall we? Because
go for it. We believe in you.
I have a feeling it might go too big. I believe in me, yes. Child of Mars, welcome to the world. You are about to embark upon a great journey to your rightful place upon the surface of the planet your ancestors built. Your sweat, your blood, and that of your kin gave this planet life. Now it is your turn to share in the bounty of mankind, to live and prosper in this new solar republic and pave a way for the next generation. My heart is with you. The hopes and dreams of people everywhere rise with you. Good luck, and may you and yours find joy under the stars.
Oh, I love that last line. I really felt like you were so happy for me.
It turned more cleric, church cleric, than I had figured it would in the middle there somewhere.
Yes.
Almost vicary. Which wasn't what I was going for.
There was definitely a sense of you giving the speech, as it were.
Proclamation, yes.
Yeah.
I felt like you had definitely had like a very formal role and you were doing that role. I would have liked to have seen more like the human side of you coming out a little
humanistic,
bit
humanistic, yes. Yeah.
The last line felt more human than
it
the
really
rest
jumped
of it,
out.
Actually.
When you said that last line.
But I think also it didn't gel with what had gone before, perhaps. So it might be, if that was a first take, I might take that final line and go back to the beginning and continue again in that vein.
Well, that's a good idea, because like, you're still finding the character, you're finding the,
Well, quite. I would like to see what you did with it, though, Jenna, because I'm sure it's going to be fascinating.
I forgot I had to do it myself, right?
Yeah, you do, You have to show us what you did.
Child of Mars, welcome to the worlds. You are about to embark upon a great journey to your rightful place upon the surface of the planet your ancestors built. Your sweat, your blood, and that of your kin gave this planet life. Now it is your turn to share in the bounty of mankind, to live and prosper in this new solar republic, and pave a way for the next generation. My heart is with you. The hopes and dreams of people everywhere rise with you. Good luck, and may you and yours find joy under the stars.
Oh, it really, lovely. The rise with you really kind of it made my skin tingle.
There was a real urgency to that,
yes, actually. Yes, there was.
I felt that,
that's interesting.
Yeah, quite. There was a real energy to it, and interestingly, I visualised you within it, or I visualised her, almost standing on a level with them. So not putting herself above physically, above, not beaming down physically, but meeting them as it were.
Whereas I saw it as the little Princess Leia hologram from Star Wars on the table in front of them. Yeah, basically that.
That's two very different ideas. The answer is I don't know how visually it would look.
Yeah, it was beautiful, really. I loved it. It was gorgeous. It was very delicate, actually.
Thank you.
Well, now it's time for the wild card, Jenna. And delicate is not usually the word that we use for the wild card. Can you pick one of the scripts for Sam or for me and give us a new direction, a new character, a new song?
So it's funny, we had a bit of a weird foreshadowing moment earlier when you were talking about luggage and then we went to airlines. I would like Mark to do that script that we just did in the style of either a captain or cabin crew of a really, really low budget airline.
Low budget. Okay. I think I might go captain rather than cabin crew.
I want to hear your cabin crew.
I know you do. I'm going to cop out of that one, I think. Child of Mars, welcome to the worlds. You are about to embark upon a great journey to your rightful place upon the surface of the planet your ancestors built. Your sweat, your blood, and that of your kin gave this planet life. Now it is your turn to share in the bounty of mankind, to live and prosper in this new solar republic, and pave the way for the new generation. My heart is with you and your co-captain. The hopes and dreams of people everywhere rise with you. Good luck. May you and yours find joy under the stars.
Wow. In what context was the captain speaking? Again, you felt quite ecclesiastical there.
Really? I was talking down that headset, imagining I was talking to the entire plane full of passengers.
Right. I thought you were multitasking. I felt like you were like twiddling knobs and stuff.
Well, yeah. I was flipping yes. controls flipping at the same
like,
time.
Quite distracted and I thought that's still forte. Speaking. I'm
exactly.
still on air.
It's like, oh, I'm still talking. Yes, exactly.
They do all sound the same though, don't they? They all sound like quite well-spoken. Very, very laid back. Like that.
Yes.
We'll be flying at
26,000
feet. Cruising at 36,000 feet, exactly. Over the Bay of Biscay. Well, okay. Jenna, I think Sam ought to pick one for you.
I would like you to do your script, actually, Jenna. Well, we're going fairy tale.
Ooh.
In that, do we know the story of the elves and the shoemaker?
Vaguely.
The shoemaker was needed help, and the little elves, or the little mice, I think, as well, but elves came in the middle
yes,
of the night, and they sewed everything up for him. They made the shoes, so he became very rich. Anyway, I would like you to be one of the sewing elves.
Oh.
You've crept in with your elf buddies. And you're all sitting, however you like, cross-legged on the table, whatever you're doing, and you are sewing and chatting.
We're back to the leather again.
Oh, in the small leather
yes,
workshop.
Yes, in the small leather workshop.
That's probably what made leather me think of
I think it might be.
I'm thinking, yeah, you're right, you're in a very small leather shop.
Okay. No idea what voice is going to come out, but we'll see.
Hello, child of Mars. Welcome to the worlds. Shh. You're about to embark upon a great journey to your rightful place upon the surface of the planet your ancestors built. We can't wake him. Your sweat, your blood, and that of your kin gave this planet life. Now it is your turn to share in the bounty of mankind. to live and prosper in this new solar republic and pave a way for the next generation. My heart is with you. The hopes and dreams of people everywhere rise with you. Good luck, and may you and yours find joy under the stars.
I loved it.
I loved it. Pave a way was just the best.
Yeah.
Pave a way. Oh, gorgeous.
The characterisation was lovely. Do you ever get asked to do kids' voices?
I do, occasionally.
I'm not surprised, because that tone is beautiful, that tonal quality.
So sweet. And
yes.
It felt like a real chitter-chatter between you and the other elves.
But also being very careful not to wake the shoemaker.
Oh, so
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I love that.
That was gorgeous.
Wow.
I saw you sitting in your small
yes,
leather workshop.
In the workshop, absolutely. Blimey. Okay, Sam, well, I've got one for you now. I would like you to be in a shop, and you're a shop assistant, not the owner of the shop. And you can't find the barcode. And so, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, rather than tell anybody about it, you're going to let the person have it for free. You shouldn't, but you're going to. Because you're feeling nice
right.
that day.
Right, okay.
Your script might work best for it.
Okay. Oh, in 1971, Edward and Isabel Beaumont opened a small leather workshop just outside London. Yeah, he believed in things well made to last. She Oh, she bought Vision and Flair, but together they shaped a brand defined by balance between heritage and innovation, utility and elegance, function. The quiet confidence of beautiful design. Today, every Beaumont and Bell piece is made with care. Okay. From timeless luggage to modern handbags, this is the story of how we carry legacy. Why it still matters. Bye.
Do you know what? That's a masterclass in story beginning, middle and end, because it was really obvious. I loved that.
That was a really hard one, actually, Mark. I felt that was kind of cruel. I don't know what other scenarios you usually do with that. That was.
I know what Sam's capable of, and that of was course. Brilliant.
It was.
I kind of went in with a character that I lost in the telling, if you know what I mean.
Okay, yeah,
I got
know
so caught yeah, up yeah. with what the fuck I was doing yeah. and what I was looking for and looking for the barcode that I forgot where I'd come in.
Because you kind of came in fairly cheeky.
I did, assistant. And then I
yeah,
forgot about
yeah,
that.
Interesting.
So
yeah,
that was sort of annoying.
That's a fair point.
I didn't actually notice that.
But I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. As always, we've put the scripts in the show notes. So if you want to be a cheeky shopkeeper or an airline pilot or a little elf yourself, you can have a go yourself.
Absolutely. So, Jenna, now, this is something I was talking about only this weekend. So I'd be very curious as to what your process is in terms of creating characters. Where do you start when you create characters?
It depends on if it's an audition or if it's if I've got the part or not. Have I got the part?
Let's assume you've got
yes.
the part.
Nice.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well done. That's sharp.
This is something that I stole from Andrea Toyos, who is one of the casting directors for Blizzard. So I am bestowing her wisdom onto you, dear listeners. Biggest hope, biggest dream, biggest fear. Key personality traits, because I have a background in psychology, I kind of go quite deep into that,
of sort course, of
into the
yeah.
introvert, extrovert, neurotic, you know, are they a people pleaser, are they conscientious, that kind of thing. I also think it's really important to look at ways in which you're similar to the character and ways in which you're different to the character. And on face value, you might see a character that's a villain and think, well, they're nothing like me. I'm a good person. But actually, when you go deeper and you look at their motivations and why they are the way they are, you can actually identify with even the most shitty of characters. You can find something about their life story that you can relate to.
How far down the line, Jenna, are you deciding what kind of voice to give that character then?
Quite far down the line. Mm. I feel like the voice just somehow comes after just as you start just reading the script and reading a little bits out loud, that you just find the voice somehow. You just find the right place for it to sit that's sustainable as well.
But by doing what you're doing there, Jenna, presumably you've got to do that again, the whole actory thing of obviously you read everything that is in your part, but you also read around it as well and how the other characters in it
react. Yeah, if you get the benefit of that information. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about audio drama based off a book series is you have all the writing, all the clues are there. You just have to read the book and the author tells you how the character should sound almost.
I've certainly spoken to people who do very little prep, actually, because they haven't got to learn the lines.
I'm so jealous of those people.
Because they're quite confident that it will come as it,
I think that's
unfolds.
That's an interesting strategy. It can work because you can come to a session with a clear idea of what you're going to do, and then the director can throw you a curveball and said, though we liked your audition, we want it like this. And then you're kind of...
Screwed, I think, is the word you're looking for. Absolutely.
And then on the other hand, I feel it's almost a bit disrespectful to have not done the...
Yeah. To do the prep,
Particularly if there's words that you're going to be pronouncing that you don't know how to say and you've not looked it up, it's going to not reflect that well on you. So, two schools of thought.
Jenna, that's a fascinating discussion. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I have. I've had a great time.
All of Jenna Sharp's details can be found in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the scripts are also in the show notes. And do hit the follow button on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a review.
do do that.
Yes, reviews, please. That's it for this week. Thanks again to the brilliant Jenna Sharp. We will be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking, this is where we do the title of the show altogether, Jenna. We'll be asking,
how do you say that?
How do you say that?